Hello, everybody. Pastor Adam again. Let's get right to it. Let's go to the Lord first. Acknowledge God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yahweh, for today. We are here, and you have trusted us to do your will. So we thank you, Father God. We ask for your continued grace, mercy, blessings on us to go forth and do great things, to do great adventures for you, to further your kingdom. Reveal to us, Father God, those areas that we're lacking, that we're not aligned with you, that are missing the mark. And we thank you for giving us another opportunity to get right with you and the world. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I titled this Something Great. Okay, and I'm going to start this by throwing out a blanket question. What is your wildest dream for church, for the congregation, for the assembly? Now, I'm going to attempt today to answer for us as best as I can, and maybe it is to be a place where there is joy and excitement. Maybe it's a place where lost sinners are found, broken homes are restored, and those who are adrift find purpose and destiny for their lives. Maybe it's something else, but I start with that to help us get the juices flowing as we are going to be looking at the story of a guy in the Bible that goes by the name of Naaman. And before we read the scriptures regarding this incident in the life of this man called Naaman, I want to comment on a few things about this story. So I'm going to, just so we have a little background before we get into the actual scriptures on this guy named Naaman. First off, Naaman is a heroic military figure who is afflicted with leprosy. And Naaman's not Jewish. Rather, he's a distinguished general who had often led the Syrian army to victory. Now, the name Naaman means pleasantness. In Hebrew, it means pleasantness. Also, Naaman, in his household, he has a young Jewish woman living, and she's a slave. Now, we're not totally sure how that happened, how she became to go to his home and be a slave in his house, but it's likely that he won her after a battle. And she's basically Naaman's wife's maid, okay? Okay, and then one day, we're going to read in this story, one day this young Jewish woman says to the wife of Naaman, hey, there's a prophet in Israel who can heal your husband of this leprosy. So Naaman responds to the young Jewish girl's advice, and later on, he encounters this prophet in Israel. Now, the prophet instructs Naaman that the cure for his illness is to dip himself in the waters of the Jordan River 7 times. Well, upon hearing this instruction, Naaman is aghast. He's appalled. In fact, he refuses to do what the prophet Elisha instructs him to do, mainly because Elisha didn't meet with him personally. But rather, Elisha had one of his servants tell these instructions to Naaman, and Naaman's not happy with it. He's grumbling, he's complaining, he's murmuring. He's, just totally frustrated, right? And Naaman's servant, it's at this moment we're going to see in the story, he kind of boldly just speaks out and says to Naaman, hey, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done that? All right. Okay. So that's kind of just a quick down and dirty preview, if you will, of the story about Naaman that we're going to read here in a little bit. And before we read these scriptures detailing this story, there is something I think we just got to make sure that we all hear. And what it is that some of us listening to this are in need of physical healing or maybe emotional healing, like right now, right? Okay? So I'm just suggesting that you open your heart and mind to the Word of God. Don't allow pride, insecurity, distractions right now to take dominion in your life. You need to have an open heart, an open mind right now. And I realize this as well. I may be speaking to people who have never truly given themselves to the Lord. people who, for, you know, just one reason or another, have lived their lives without coming right into a right relationship with God. And I believe, I always believe this when having the opportunity to speak about the Word of God, is that the atmosphere is ripe for healing. Be that physical, emotional, something in your soul that needs mending, needs healing, needs restoration. So I believe we have to be seeing each other, that we can just, by hearing this, the atmosphere is ripe to know and follow the great I Am, like you never have before. Okay, so with that introduction, let's begin reading the scriptures regarding this event about this guy named Naaman, and let's just praise God. Thank God for the healing that's going to manifest. The story is contained in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Again, this is 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, who waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read this letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abinah and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done that? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So Naaman went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. So, okay, now, there's quite a few different things that are going on in these 14 verses that you know, you could go over and do a message about. But today, I want to focus on the issue that many of us, how I want to talk about this, many of us, maybe all of us is a better way to say it, just like Naaman, would like to do some great thing to serve and honor God. I mean, come on, just be honest. I mean, many of us, I think, have dreamed and thought about missionary crusades to the deepest, most you know, remote parts of the planet. Or you know, we fantasize about preaching to stadiums. I know that I've done this. I've just dreamt about preaching to stadiums full of people who just can't stand to wait for my next word. Or, you know, maybe we want to be like those Christian philanthropists who are able to fund worthy causes out of their abundancy. But then there's reality, right? Most of us never get a chance to serve God in that way or even close to it. And it can get really frustrating to watch Christians imply that doing those kinds of things I just mentioned are the things that we're supposed to strive toward. Like there's, you know, some kind of imaginary ladder of success within Christianity. And that thinking, I'm telling you, has confused so many of us, left so many of us frustrated. We fail to see that things like, oh, I don't know, maybe just cleaning a building, being a janitor, maybe serving in children's ministry is meaningful. Because folks, here's the deal. Serving in any capacity is our assignment. Calling it great or not is a significant mistake. It's a waste of time to even dialogue about that. What I'm getting at in this story of Naaman, it's abounding with irony. For instance, at first, we were introduced to him. That kicks it off right away there, right? He's a heroic figure. He's influential in bringing victory to his king and country. It's, you know, that I mean, he's like the General Patton of his day. He's greatly admired and highly sought after. Yet, there was one very, you know, not very good or not very positive circumstance in his life, which was what? Leprosy. He's a leper. Remember in verse 1, right at the end, it goes, but, he's a leper. Now, if you're not aware of this, leprosy, in many stories, many times it represents, it's sin. That's what it represents. And that's where you and I, we get inserted into this story. I'm talking about all of us, whether we're male or female, young or old, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, children, friends, or neighbors. We all have that one little but that mars each of our lives. All of us are sinners before God, right? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 says, "But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin." And so the irony is people still think like Naaman. They think that fame and success and prestige, well, you'll never have tragedy or illness, which is a total falsehood. There are many well-known or what maybe people call famous people who have cancer or family strife or tragedy that hits their homes. Naaman had access to the finest of medical care, but alas, there's no cure for leprosy. And another bit of irony that is that the one who shows the most spiritual discernment in this short story is a young servant woman in Naaman's household. She's a Jew, and she knows of a prophet in Israel who can cleanse Naaman. Once again, here's another example of God using the weak to shame the strong, the foolish to shame the wise. This young slave Jewish girl didn't hate her captor Naaman. She only saw his need. I think Jesus speaks about this very thing in John chapter 4, verse 35, where he says, "Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." Many times, folks, Christians and non-Christians question, why would God allow this young woman to be carried away as a slave? Well, God has her here at the perfect place and time to accomplish his work. See, focusing on that, again, is the wrong thing to focus on. I just want to praise this young girl and those like this young girl that have a heart for others, regardless of their circumstance. This young woman knew and believed what God could do. And I just thank God for those who believe in a big God, because too many of us have a little weak God. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." This young Jewish slave girl had a confession for God. She spoke out of her convictions. She was unafraid, and she had a bold, simple testimony. She was a light for the Lord in character and conduct in the midst of her dark situation of being a slave. Thank God for those who are willing to say a word for the glory of the Lord even while they're in prison. Okay, I hope you get that. So here we go. Because Naaman has political connections, he goes through the proper channels to set up a meeting with the prophet in Israel, who happens to be the prophet Elisha. So he has his king draft a letter to Elisha's king. Now, when the king of Israel receives this letter, he thinks Naaman's king is trying to pick a fight with him. Because he responds to his, "Why does your king send someone to me to be cured of this leprosy?" Then what does he do? He tears his clothes, because his first instinct is to perceive this is an act of war from Naaman's king. Just again, here's more irony for us. Isn't it ironic that Elisha's king, right, the king of Israel at this time, the king of God's covenant people, doesn't have enough spiritual discernment to know that there is a man of God in his kingdom that can heal people? Now, word gets to Elisha about the king's quandary, and Elisha contacts the king, you know, sends a letter or a messenger saying, "Hey, have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." Knucklehead. I mean, that's really, Elisha's like, "Man, you're just a weak king." So, I mean, folks, don't overlook that casually. Because you and I, we need to know, you know, is there a prophet in your town? Is there a place where the lost are found, the broken are restored, and those who are adrift are given directions? Again, started today with, you know, what's your thought about church? I mean, is your church known for that? For people who are in need of healing or emotional healing? People who are lost, who are adrift? Do people know that when they come through the doors of your church where you meet, they're going to be encountering God, the God, and that they'll be changed? Because see, when Naaman finally goes to see Elisha, what happens? He's underwhelmed. Because he deals with, not Elisha, right? He deals with, you know, how he thinks it's one of Elisha's students rather than the man himself. One of the reasons Elisha sends someone else rather than, you know, himself going to meet with Naaman, I believe, is Elisha wanted to communicate that the healing came from God. The healing doesn't come from Elisha. Elisha's mode of cleansing to have Naaman dip 7 times in the Jordan River, right? And it makes Naaman outraged. Naaman says, "If dipping in a river would cleanse leprosy, then there are far superior rivers in Syria." Right? That's what he says. And after saying that, Naaman's servant finally, you know, asks a question so powerful that it rings through the ages up till today. Hey, he goes, "Hey, you know, Naaman, if the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done that?" And I think millions of Christians make the same mistake that Naaman makes. What do I mean? Let me give you a scenario. You're going to come and ask for advice. You go to your spiritual advisors. You go to your pastor, the prophets, the leaders of the ministries. And often you'll walk away frustrated and angry with that answer. And then you think, "Well, I can do it better. I can work this out. I can get there on my own. I can formulate a better plan." Proverbs 16, verse 25 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it is the way of death." Bingo. There it is. I can tell you so many times when I was pastoring Freedom Destiny Church, every service we'd have a time at the end where we could have people come to the altar and have our elder team pray for them. And the elder team was, you know, me and my wife and the other, we had some ordained pastors and other people that just had that gift, okay, that faith level. And so, but But what I found is at times people would only come to me or Candace. They wouldn't. And it's like, no, God heals. He uses people. Many, you know, many of us would be willing to do something great in order to set things with God to be right, you know, in our lives. I know that. I mean, I hope you're tracking with me here about what I'm saying. But God, what God really wants is just simple trust and obedience. He just wants us to go down and bathe in the filthy Jordan River because that, you know, in this case was too much for a man as important as Naaman. And Naaman was ticked off. And he went away frustrated and said, behold, I thought Elisha would surely come out to me, stand before me, call on the name of Jehovah, his God, and wave his hand over the place, and boom, my leprosy would be gone. All that is Naaman's pride welling up and within him and all, but it almost destroyed his opportunity for healing. And pride so often has kept man back from the necessary humble obedience which saves. I mean, folks, to just do something as simple as to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I forgive somebody, or to say and admit, I got it wrong. Can you forgive me? Or, you know, can we try this again? Because many of us today are yet not willing to wash in the Jordan River, so to speak. And it's at this critical moment in this story, one of the most, you know, courageous servants in all of history says to his master, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? So why don't you just obey him when he tells you to wash in the Jordan River and be clean? Bingo. Now that's a wise and courageous and faithful servant. And what happens is Naaman repents and is transformed as he humbles himself and swallows his pride. The last verse in our text today reads, and he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River, according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So, what was the great thing that brought Naaman's cleansing? It's not complicated, folks. It was his obedience. And because of his obedience, look what resulted. Naaman then repented of worshiping other gods and acknowledged the God of Israel, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the great I am, as his God. As it continues in the scripture here in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. So Naaman said, then, if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. What's going on here is, see, Naaman is asking Elisha, he's proclaiming, he wants 2 mules to carry some of the ground from Israel, some of the earth, so we could take this ground back to his home country and use that ground as the foundation to build an altar to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, to Yahweh, to the God of Israel. And Naaman also seeks forgiveness from God for his involuntary adoration of the Syrian divinity, Rimmon, through the act of his master and leaning upon him during the master's devotions. Wow. So I think people miss this, but this entire text of Naaman, I believe, is a wonderful, beautiful illustration of God taking the gospel to the Gentile nations. In other words, look at this, that like Naaman here is a seed. Naaman is taking 2 mules packed with soil because he understands his mission now is to plant the seed in good ground. Don't forget, God promises to go to the Gentiles because the Jews are going to reject him. When Naaman returns to Syria and they see their famous general healed from leprosy, you know there's going to be many Syrians coming to worship and they're going to come to know the God of Israel because of Naaman's testimony. In other words, here, once again, is another example of God taking his glory and wrapping it up in our sin. In this particular example, it's Naaman's leprosy. And don't lose sight of dipping seven times in the Jordan River. Seven represents perfection. Naaman's healing was perfect. Not only his body, but his soul. Look at this correlation from what Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 5. Jesus says, so watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Oh boy, somebody listening. Maybe you have a problem right there with that, forgiving people for the same thing they do. Increase my faith. Come on now. I mean, come on. What great thing brings us salvation, folks? Simple trust in the crucified, resurrected, ascended, and ascended Jesus Christ. What great thing will build a congregation, build an assembly, build a church? I contend it's simple obedience. Each one of us, in the midst of our storms, are to praise the Lord along the journey. And in doing so, we will break the bondage of the enemy heaps on us that is preventing us from fulfilling our purpose, preventing us from completing our assignment. Be like the young slave woman here in Naaman's home and serve. If you think you're in a dead-end relationship, show love, compassion, forgiveness, and serve. If you think you're in a dead-end job, be faithful, be on time, be courteous and respectful, and serve. If you think you're at the end of the line financially, be thankful for what you have. Be a light in a dark place, be encouraging, and serve. Why is this story significant to you and I? Because in our land, there are many people who are lepers. I'm thinking of the striking parallel between this story and the man who is plagued by the leprosy of sin. Right? He's physically strong, intellectually clean, socially popular, yet he has no place for Jesus Christ, no place for the church, no place for the Bible in his life. You know, all that separates the sinner from eternal life in Jesus Christ is a willingness to do things God's way. When you and I become willing to come the way of that God has laid out for us, then we will receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. Naaman was changed because he did it the Lord's way. Likewise, folks, it's not complicated. If we will come, that's the way it will work for us also. Got to humble yourself and accept the gift of salvation provided by believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God bless you all.